and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It is episode number 465. My name is James Gilmer, and joining me today, James Gimmer.
Close enough.
That's what it sounded like. I'm sticking with it for the time being. My name is James Gimmer, and joining me today on this Blackest of Fridays is Rick Kimmer.
Kimmer. Not the worst misspelling of my name so far this week.
Really? Because I'm Gilmore, right? I always get G-I-L-M-O-O-R-E.
Yeah.
That's what everybody goes for, which is completely wrong and not Scottish. What do you get, weird spellings of for Cowley?
I get Crowley, as you might imagine.
Oh, okay. They give you a bonus R.
It would be fine normally, but it's appeared on an airplane booking that I have, which could cause problems when trying to get on board.
I'm pretty sure some of my bills are to the wrong Gilmore, and that could be a problem if I ever get pulled up in court. Although I did see a capture for one of Harry Slater's reviews this week that was embedded on someone's site. It was a game, and obviously he'd said something nice about it, so the developer had gone, ooh, we'll use this and put it on our site, and credit it to one Harry Slatter. He's a wordsmith, that Slatter. Love that guy.
Good old Slatter, that's what I always say.
I know, right? We go way back. So, it is Black Friday, as I'm sure you've all noticed, because it seems to have been Black Friday for about at least a week already, because that's how the sales work now, just never ending. And we'll go from this sale into the Christmas sales, and they'll just hand off to each other like a baton of misery and capitalism. So we're going to only mention them very briefly, but we will also be talking about the latest game to come from Amanita Design landing on mobile very, very, very soon. We've got an Eevee Tamagotchi, if you're into the 90s, I guess. We've got good news regarding the future of the Walking Dead franchise, plus a whole bunch of new releases, including the likes of Kingdom Rush Vengeance, Assassin's Creed Rebellion, Super Faust and more, and an interview with the aforementioned Kingdom Rush Vengeance developers. But first, the news. Got anything in the Black Friday sales there, Rick?
I have no money, so no. But I have
Excellent.
Seen a lot of wonderful deals that I would happily bankrupt myself for.
Yeah, if only the credit card company would allow it.
Indeed.
I haven't really done anything. One thing I have got is I've got a new... Actually, I lie. I have got something quite massive. I got a new PC.
Ooh.
Yeah, I've been meaning to get one for about 3 years, because the one I've got is about 5 years old, and now, possibly contributing to the crash I experienced this morning with my renderer, it's really kind of out of date and it needs to pick me up. And I've able to get about like 250 quid off a good PC build, so I've had to do that. I'll be paying that off for a few months, but I've put it off for too long, Rick. I have, and now my life will be hopefully immeasurably better, and not just full of new teething errors with Windows 10.
I've had my eye on that the 2DS XL deal.
I did see that.
Doing three games, and you can get like Animal Crossing, Happy Home Designer, Bravely Second. There was another good one. Oh, there was Paper Mario, Mario and Luigi Paper Jam, or something like that. And all sorts of great games. And I just really want that 2DS. It looks so nice.
They are nice. What was it, like 100 and something?
Yeah, 130 quid for that and three games, which is like the 2DS by itself is 130 quid, so you're essentially just getting three games with it.
And Nintendo games always cost a fortune anyway.
Exactly.
So they never go below like 30 quid.
You are literally saving about 100 quid by buying that deal.
That's pretty sweet.
It's so good, but I can't afford it because I have no money.
If I didn't already have a 3DS XL, maybe.
Yeah.
And be massively in debt from computer. Well, we've put up loads of sales stories on Pocket Gamer. We're not going to go through them all because, I say, they may be out of date. One thing that people are interested in, given this was originally an iOS podcast, but is now an everything mobile podcast, was we did have a quick look at the Apple sales and saw what was going on. And basically, they are rubbish. So, basically no reductions from Apple about anything. What they will do is they'll give you £40 to spend in one of its shops if you buy an iPhone 7 or 8.
Great.
So, yeah. So, all you need to do is give them £800, and they will give you £40 worth of Apple Disney dollars. So, you know, great bargain. Anyway, how about we talk about some stuff that is a little bit cheaper, if a bit dafter. So, the Eevee Tamagotchi. It is real, and it is coming early next year. I didn't know anything about this until I saw Jessica's news story. Has this been in the rumbling for a while, or is this new?
I also did not see it, did not know anything about it until I saw our own headline about it.
It's good that our site works.
Yeah, that's
providing
the best way
news.
That you can find out about things, to be honest.
Yeah, good. That proves the system works, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, there's an official Tamagotchi website. We've got a screen capture of it, the Japanese version of it, so I can't read it, obviously. But I'm reliably assured that you'll be getting two different varieties of Tamagotchi that will be appearing on January 26th. They'll only cost about £16. That's nice. Don't know what that is in yen. But you'll be able to have your little Eevee Tamagotchi, and you'll be able to evolve it into all eight of its current evolutionary forms.
Ooh.
And also three other forms, unknown forms, are being teased. So that's fun. If you are old enough to remember Tamagotchis being in school, which I just about am, and I remember never having one and being quite bitter about it. But as I understood it, all anyone ever did was either overfeed it, not feed it at all, give it loads of injections, give it no injections at all, anything to abuse this poor little digital LCD screen, kids will do. So, are you looking forward to starving your very own Eevee in your pocket?
No, that would be horrible. Why would you say that? It's fine when it's like a made up Tamagotchi creature thing, but Eevee's cute and adorable. I don't want to kill an Eevee. Jeez. Surely they won't let you kill an Eevee, though. Like, there's no way Nintendo would let that happen.
But like when car manufacturers won't let you scratch their cars in games.
Yeah. It must be something like Eevee runs away or something and it only comes back when you...
Well, she'll faint, won't she?
Start treating it right.
That's what they do in Pokemon. They faint, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that'll be what happens.
Good point.
Clearly, this is popping up because we've just had the release of Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, so it's tying into them. Maybe there'll be a Pikachu one as well going with it. Maybe that's the other form. But you can find the details and the links over on PG if you really, really want that for... some reason. Let's talk about something I'm genuinely excited about here. Amanita Design, one of my favourite developers for their weird, quirky, beautifully artistic games, which include the likes of Machinarium, we've had Samorost, we've had... oh, what was the last one? Where you're up a tree with the little things and you take control of five little seeds or whatever and twigs.
Oh,
and
I know what you mean, but I can't remember the name.
Damn. Oh well. Go Google Amanita Design. They're fantastic. It's like whimsical and stylish and a bit sad and a bit lovely and everything I could possibly want. And they're really keeping the point and click genre alive whilst also doing something that feels fresh with it. It's such an unusual tone these games have. Their new game, Chuchul, which has been teased like about a year ago and then we heard nothing about it. It is coming to mobile next week, which is super good. I see. I don't know if it's already been out on PCs or other consoles before now. I think it was maybe earlier the year it came out for PC, I want to say. It was rumoured to come to iOS, and then it just never happened. It was been months and months and months since, so we thought, no, it's never coming. But they've just sent out a tweet this week and given us a week's notice, and go and look at the trailer, go and look at the art style, and for God's sake, go and play Machinarium. That's available on Android and iOS dead cheap. And it is a properly splendid, amazing point-and-click adventure with like no text in it. It's all told through animated speech bubbles with all images in them. And it's a little love story and it's sad and it's wonderful. Have you played any of the
Unfortunately, all of them have just completely passed me by.
Are you a point-and-clickist? Do you like those?
Not especially. What kind of point-and-click? Is it like fill up an inventory with tons of items and try and solve puzzles? Or is it just explore?
This is, I mean, yes, you do have to collect items and do that, you know, work out which two to put together to solve the problem. But a lot of this is exploration and you're running up and down trees or you're running in out of this mechanical village full of weird, rusty characters. And it looks like it's going to be similarly nature-based, like the ones which name I can't remember.
Is it
this one?
Botanicular,
there you go. God. So,
I googled it.
I was trying not to do it and think of it myself, but good. Now I won't lie awake at night thinking about it. Thank you. But no, they do something clever and different with it, I feel like. It is not just, oh, it's like Broken Sword, you know, a person wandering around trying to solve a mystery. It's not that, and it's not like Monkey Island. Even though it is comedic, it is kind of funny in a weird, surreal way. But it really set themselves apart from the competition that they're cracking. So I am massively looking forward to playing this. Next Thursday, I think, is what the release date is going to be. November 29th. So keep your eyes peeled for that one. We'll definitely be doing a video of it because I'll find any excuse, basically. Now, catching up on something that we've talked about in previous podcasts, so we might as well put a kind of happy ending on the tale. The Telltale, in fact. The Walking Dead. So, as regular listeners will know, and anyone who's got eyes and ears will know, the company, Telltale, basically folded in on itself and fired all of its staff and announced that the Walking Dead series was basically not going to be finished. The final season was going to be incomplete. And they've been in talks and trying to do wranglings, and certain companies have stepped up and said, hey, we'll help you finish it and whatnot. Turns out, a deal has been struck with Skybound. Skybound being the media company that belongs to Robert Kirkman, who is the creator of The Walking Dead. They are taking it over. Which is arguably the best fit, I suppose. Given that it's his property in the first place. So it kind of makes sense. And the good news about all of it, for me, is that they are apparently getting a bunch of the staff who were originally working on it in to continue finishing it. So that's the only sort of small ray of sunshine to come out of all of this, I think.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean a great deal for them long term.
No. I'm sure I saw something somewhere where Skybound was saying, oh yeah, we've got a lot of things going on, but one of the things we don't have is our own internal publishing department or something.
Oh yeah.
So maybe these people, the old Telltale hires who get picked up, will get to keep a job afterwards. It's not just a short-term finish the game in 3 months and then you're out of a job kind of thing. At least that's what my hope would be. It would be really disappointing if these people just got dragged in to finish a game and then throw it on their ass again. But yeah, I don't know. It's a bittersweet ending, I think. It's still sad that so many people lost their jobs just one day. You know, it's not like Skybound have bought out Telltale and everyone's getting their jobs back and everyone's going to be happy. Hopefully these people have now found new jobs. I haven't really been keeping an eye on things because it all kind of died down on social media and stuff. But yeah, it's a good thing that people are getting their jobs back. It's a good thing that we're going to see the end of the game. And it's good that it is going back to Skybound, given that it's all under Robert Kirkman's watchful eye. And I'm sure everything will be to his standard and it'll keep the story and everything will still finish well. But yeah, I'm just worried about the people more than the game.
But that's the thing, because I tapped out of the Walking Dead series a while back, so I'm not that invested in seeing the final episode. I'm not fussed about that. I've become more interested in the fate of the studio and the people. But I'm sure there are a lot of people who really do want to see the end of it. And so episodes 3 and 4 are the remaining two, because it's only going to be a 4-episode series. And they've been delayed, but now they are actually going to be finished. And apparently Skybound's also trying to get the previous seasons of The Walking Dead back in stores, I think.
Right, yes.
Was it that all the episodes were like pulled from the digital marketplace? Is that what happened?
I think season 4, all of that got pulled from digital marketplaces. Right.
Okay.
And they've had a few Telltale games have been pulled as well, like Back to the Future and Jurassic Park, the game, have both been pulled from Steam. Now that Telltale's completely folded. So
yeah. Alright then. Well, so yeah, if you were waiting for it, good news, you'll see the episodes appearing at some point in the future, and hopefully it's... See, I'm trying to work out whether this is going to be like a massively emotionally charged thing for numerous reasons. All these developers, are they either going to be burned out and the episode might suffer because of the stress and the, you know, the turmoil, or this is going to be like the most loaded episode of anything ever? You know what I mean?
Hopefully Skybound sort of give them enough room to recover and get into the swing of things and not just say, we need this game in a month because we know it was nearly done. Hopefully there's a bit of time in there to just sort of do it right rather than do it.
I want to see if they slip in any screw you Easter eggs to Telltale. That's what I want to see. So yeah, eyes peeled for that. Sort of good news, but you know, it is what it is. Kingdom Rush was something of a surprise hit when it launched a few years back. It's now had a storied franchise, taking 3 games to the App Store, and now a 4th game, which has just gone live on iPhone, iPad, and Android. Kingdom Rush Vengeance is the newest installment, and I am joined by Leandro, the lead game designer.
Hello.
And Juan, the lead artist.
Hi there.
Hey guys, how are you doing?
Great. How about you?
I'm doing very well. We're recording this just before the game goes live, so I imagine you guys are in last-minute preparations for the launch. Is it all going okay?
Yeah, we're actually really excited to finally launch this game.
When Kingdom Rush first came out, it was a bit of a surprise how successful it was. People weren't necessarily anticipating the big reception that it got. What do you think has been the thing that's kept the series alive over the first three episodes?
We think that attention to detail is one of the most important things that make the players come back for another installment of the game. Mm-hmm. That means from the art to the stages we make, how we balance the game. We try to take it to the highest quality possible for us to make.
So there were a few changes that happened between the first installment and Origins, which was the third game. One of the things that you gradually sort of brought in additional towers, you got new characters in, there are heroes that you send out into the field, and then you get the option to unlock lots more in the game, both via play and via in-app purchases if you want to. This newest installment adds a whole bunch more stuff. So what are the big changes that Vengeance brings to the series?
We think the biggest change in this game is the way you play with towers. Mm-hmm. The previous installments, you had always the same set of towers to play from start to finish. On this game, you were able to choose from 16 towers for you to combine and think strategies with.
So I've actually been playing it a lot this morning, and I've just unlocked the Dark Knights, which is my fifth equipped tower. So there's a circle of five, but in total, is there 16 that you can get?
Yeah, 16. You will have 11 towers you can have in the game, and five more you can get with in-app purchases.
You can buy extra. And the idea is that you can now swap these towers out depending on what level you're playing, so you can approach each level with like a different strategy.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. And it's the same for the heroes. So you've got a whole bunch of heroes now as well. I've unlocked the first three. And then you've got, again, a few that haven't been revealed. I noticed there are two dark spaces at the very end of the scroll wheel. I'm guessing these are going to be added in future updates?
Yeah, we will probably add, with future updates, new heroes and towers as well.
As with all the games, you've inserted little pop culture nods into it. So you've got little things like if you look over to the lava, you'll be able to see a thumb up. And if you tap the thumb, then you get like a Terminator reward because it's making a nod to Terminator 2. You've always smuggled these little pop culture references in. What are some of the favorite ones you've put into this game?
Let me think about one I really like. There's a secret one with a song I really like. You'll have...
Oh, yeah.
You'll have to find it where. I don't want to spoil the surprise.
Well, okay.
Yeah, that might be one. What about you, Juan? What one do you like?
I think the song one is pretty cool. It's actually, the song is Careless Whisper. Sorry for the spoiler, but I love it.
Dude!
Then we also have a lot of Easter eggs related to our old games. And I like them too, because I'm a really fan of the old titles.
Well, I already found Donkey Kong kind of zooming past in a minecart and tapped him.
Yeah,
that's so I've
true.
Seen a couple of them. That's kind of neat. So, to me, this feels like much more of an evolution than Origins was. So, I think the first game was very successful. The second game came out and it felt almost a bit like a 1.5 version of the game where you got to add a lot of the things that you couldn't put in the first one. This feels a bit different. This is the biggest departure I've seen from the series so far. It's a premium game, I should say. It's £4.99, $4.99 on the app stores. But you've also got the ability to buy extra things via in-app payments. There's even a gem-based sort of currency that you can top up as well. If I didn't know the price tag, I might look at the game and go, oh, this is free to play. And then when I found out it was £4.99, I was like, oh, they are sticking with the traditional premium model. I know that there are going to be some people who listen to this and are going to react like, oh, I've paid £4.99, but there seem to be a lot of sort of additional things I need to purchase or that I can purchase. How do you feel about the inclusion of these in-app purchase extras as well as a premium price tag?
Well, the game is actually designed to play without the in-game purchases, but, you know, we have that extra content for the ones who want to play it. It's pretty similar to our old titles, and it's always worked well. So we choose to go for it once again.
Mm-hmm.
We think the campaign is pretty amazing. The content we include for the original price tag is cool too. We are fine with it. And if you want to support us, there's the option to get those in-app purchases.
So you don't think it's been increased at all in this version with the additional towers that you can buy, the additional characters, the gem packs?
Yeah, actually, the additional towers are just a few. You mm-hmm. get a lot of towers. You can unlock them by playing. The hero system is pretty similar to the old games, and the gem pack is also the same. So we don't see there's something negative with it. It's just you can play the whole game, the whole campaign, and if you want, you can get some extra content, you know?
Gotcha. So over the course of the three games you've released so far, you must have gotten a bunch of player feedback, things that they like, things that they don't like, certain characters that they are drawn to. What's the biggest thing you've taken on from player feedback over the years? What's the thing that you've put in where you go, we really know that the players like this, so we're going to do more of that? Or maybe they don't like this feature so much, so we're going to remove it.
Well, we always try to listen to the community and the fans of the game. One of the aspects that made us make the new tower system and make us evolve the game into the state mentioned is the necessity of players to have a new experience about how towers are used, how you play the game.
Mm-hmm.
It was something we had a little afraid of, because as you could see, it's something new if you compare it to old games.
Gotcha. So they mentioned something about wanting to have more options when they were playing through, or maybe play through the levels in a different way.
Yeah, that's the general idea, to play around with different towers, different combinations. Some of them are really powerful in some stages.
Players was already trying to play the same levels with different strategies. They were doing their own challenges and strategies. And we think we go farther giving this new options, you know, 16 towers make a lot of difference. And I don't know, we think it could be great for the campaign to play it with different points of view.
The special powers that you've included, are there any favorites that you've got? I'm thinking of the acid strikes that fall down from the sky and bombs and things like that. What do you like that you've introduced this time?
In my case, my favorite upgrade, it's the soul impact one, the one with the ray you have to destroy enemies. I think that... Yeah. That's a really cool upgrade tree, but also the one with the goonies, the demons you can have, it's really great.
Yeah, I've seen those guys. I've been throwing the little goonies down and watching them get smushed. That's always entertaining.
They hate their show.
They really do. And you also equip items as well. So there's three slots where you can dump in items which you buy with the gems that you earn. So things like bombs if you want to, and you've also got a Valyrian fire. A Game of Thrones inspiration, it feels like, there as well as there.
Yeah, exactly. In old games, you had all options available on the stage. That was kind of a nuisance when you have to play, because you had to open the bag and then select them. We tried to make an approximation similar to Iron Marines, where you have to pre-pick which ones will you bring to battle.
Yeah, it forces you to plan ahead, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, it's good that you mentioned Iron Marines, because we were a big fan of it here at Pocket Gamer. Do you have any plans for continuing that universe as well? Are you thinking of maybe doing a sequel, or are you sticking with Kingdom Rush for now?
Actually, Iron Marines is still working on the Steam version and updates, and they are planning their next step. We are from the Kingdom Rush team, so we are not the right person to answer that, you know? We are from Kingdom Rush, then there's the Iron Marines one, and the third one is working on a secret project.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Still unannounced yet.
Oh, excellent. Oh, that's good to know. Once the game has gone live, if you're listening to this, you'll already be able to go and grab it. I'm sure we'll receive a lot of feedback from listeners and viewers and whatnot. Do you have plans for updates to this game? I know that there are those two blank slots for characters. Is there ideas for maybe expanding the amount of maps on the game, or do you think this is locked now and this is the full package?
Like previous games, we always try to update the game and give additional content to players to make the game feel fresh and make the players have more bang for their buck. Mm-hmm. We are already in works for an update in the future, and we plan to make several ones as well.
That's good to hear. I'm sure people will be delighted to hear that. Well, if you want to go and grab the game now, it is available from both the App Store and the Google Play Store at £4.99, $4.99. Leandro, Juan, thank you very much for joining me today, and best luck with the launch.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Out and about this week, you've just heard from the developers, and now let's do the actual review. Kingdom Rush Vengeance is out. I've played about 4 hours plus of it, and done the video review. Harry's done the real review. It is very good, with only a couple of small caveats. I'm sort of in the bag for this series anyway, because I really do like the franchise. It's my favourite tower defence thing, as regular listeners will know. And seeing it come back sort of bigger, more expanded, more options, more versatility is really, really welcome. So, as you heard, the things that have changed this time around, you have the ability to customize towers. So you unlock new towers as you play through, rather than just being stuck with the sort of standard 4 or 5 that you had. And then you can swap them out depending on what level you're playing. So if you do want a magic-based tower, if you do want powerful archers, if you do want your big bruiser orc dudes to step in and, you know, slow everybody down, like, that's a choice that you get to make. And if you fail at a level, you can come back to it and attempt it with a different set. So what you get a lot more of is variety through replayability. The previous games, I feel like once you've sort of beaten them, you can go back and beat them again, and there's something quite cathartic about it. Mm-hmm. But you kind of have to set your own challenges, really, because you now know the technique and what towers to build. So it's just kind of repetition. Whereas with this, there's a lot more opportunity for failure, because maybe you've got the wrong towers loaded up. So you need to go back, try different towers, which forces you to completely change your strategy, which is really, really nice and makes it trickier in a lot of ways. But much more interesting, with room to breathe and play around. The art style's all there. It still looks great. You're playing as the baddies, which is kind of a fun twist. You know, you're beating up on all the orcs and the humans and everything. Sorry, beating up the humans with the orcs. The leveling for the towers is more satisfying than ever, because once you've built a tower, you get to upgrade that tower during play, and they go through about like 3 or 4 stages of upgrades. Then once you've maxed out the upgrades, there's another little 2 green dots which you can improve and improve again on them. And then this is in addition to all the passive upgrades and perks that you can buy when you're in between levels. So it's gone quite granular. It's good. It makes me feel like I'm improving my forces. It really makes me want to go and get the extra towers. And seeing the orcs go from these little crappy grunt orcs, turning their little base into this massive stone fortress, and suddenly they're completely clad head to toe in armor, and they're just like absolute brick beep houses. Superb. Like, really, really satisfying, chunky fun there.
I do have a question.
Yes.
I know it's a premium game, and it's kind of costly. I don't know, but, you know, £5. There's also IAP.
There is.
Does it get to a point ever where you feel, in your 4 hours or so, did you ever feel like it was kind of pushing you to spend more money, or did you think you could probably make it to the end without paying?
No. So I haven't paid anything on the game yet. Mm-hmm. The in-app purchases have been there for a couple of episodes. Again, we talked about this with the guys in the interview, but it does look a bit bad when you fire it up. You know what I mean? Like, right. you've paid £4.99, and then you open it up, and all of a sudden you've got the same kind of wall of gems where you can spend up to $99 on gems. So that's a premium currency you've got there. And then you've got the heroes, which you can pay money to unlock, like, 4 heroes or something. And again, that was in the previous game. Now with the towers, you can expand the towers, and there are about 4 or 5 towers you can also purchase. And so there's a lot of content sitting there that you're maybe not getting to, because you haven't spent the money. So there is that. Mm-hmm. But I do genuinely think they have balanced it in such a way that it doesn't matter. It's basically if you want to have the different character for the fun of it. It's not like you need this character in order to get to the final levels.
Right.
Which is that gating thing that I have a massive problem with, when you realize you can't get any further because it's locked behind a paywall. It's not that. It's an optional extra character that will just give you, you know, some different powers to play with, but they don't unlock the rest of the game. Not having them won't stop you from beating any of the levels at all. And if you haven't bought them, then you know you don't miss them, I guess, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
I have a friend who did go and buy a bunch of the characters, and he was perfectly happy to do that. But he'd already completed the game before he went anywhere near any of the in-app purchases. So I agree. Like, I think it makes a slightly iffy impression, and I'm a little bit concerned about if they were to push it any further than this in future installments.
Yeah.
But equally, I would still rather have this, even with the IAPs, I'd still rather have this than make the game free to play, but I have to keep grinding the same lower levels again and again and again to earn currency to buy the hero character I need to beat level 20, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not that. It genuinely isn't that.
Okay.
So I really like it, those caveats notwithstanding. Very cool stuff. Watch the video, read the review. Kingdom Rush Vengeance out right now. iPhone and iPad and Android. They've done a dual release on both Android and iOS this time. So I guess the other big release for this week is Assassin's Creed Rebellion, which I haven't played in its new form, but I did play a bunch of in its beta form.
Is it just Fallout Shelter, but with Assassins?
Well, no. See, the Fallout Shelter is, I think, a bad comparison.
Okay.
Because Fallout Shelter is just about, like, you know, yes, building your little base and everything. Mm-hmm. But with this game, it's much more about progressing through rooms, sneaking around, doing your executions. There's much more of the actual gameplay aspect of it as well. Mm-hmm. So whilst I do think even when I started playing it, there wasn't even really much emphasis put on the base bit, where you have a, you know, cutaway side of a building and all your characters are represented as little chibi 3D characters.
Mm-hmm.
But the main point is going out on the missions and then choosing between rooms, like going into a room and going, right, what are you going to do? I've got this assassin. He's good at stealth. He's not good at fighting. So you choose, right, I want to sneak past this guy. So you hit the sneak option. And then it's kind of a random chance thing based on your percentages. So you might have a 70% chance of sneaking because your character's good at sneaking. So you choose that option. And then there's a good chance it'll succeed. And your character will just hop up and then sneak past the character. If he fails, he'll try and sneak and then fall over, trip on his shoelace, and the guard will be alerted and you get gubbed. So it's a different way of playing the game, but I thought quite a good one, and does put the emphasis on strategy. And being as that's what Assassin's Creed games were originally sort of about, there were only 9 assassinations in the original Assassin's Creed game.
Yeah.
And it was all about the planning that led up to those kills, rather than just now where you're just killing everybody all the time. It was about just, like, plan the sneak and the stealth and the thing, and then when you went, wah-wah, it was massively satisfying. A bit dull in between on the original game, don't get me wrong, but I like the emphasis put on the tactics element of it, and I think it actually fits it much better than a lot of the other spin-offs that have appeared. I think this is one of the good Assassin's Creed things. Now, I want to play it in its current form, see how it's changed. I think we reviewed it. Have we just reviewed it?
We did. John Jordan did the review, because he's been playing it, I think, since it, like, came out in soft launch, so he knows it better than anybody.
Right. Good stuff. Okay, so he gave it a silver award, said it was really good, a little bit overwhelming at the start, as you work out how to, everything links together. 46 different assassins to collect. Wow, how's about that? But it looks fantastic. The art style's really good. The chibi thing works brilliantly for Assassin's Creed, for some reason. Never thought I'd say that, but it does. So go and give that one a look. I think it's free to play, given that it was in early launch.
It is.
Yes, it is. That's why John Jordan was playing it. Free to play, mad, that boy. So yeah, go and give that a look. Assassin's Creed Rebellion out now. The other one that I've played that I think is quite good, from the other end of the sort of polish spectrum, this is very, very indie, Super Faust. I don't know if this is a game that's been out in other platforms. But
I don't think so. It's a sequel, isn't it, to Faust?
Oh, okay, right. I never played Faust. This is all new to me. But I played a bit of this, and I quite like this. So for me, I don't know if you've played Faust or anyone else has, but it feels like a combination between, it's got like the Flappy Bird thing of your keepy-uppying a little character in the air, mixed with Super Meat Boy scaling and platforming, so it's like a little tiny character, and then combined with Downwell.
Okay.
Because like with Downwell, you hop, you know, to keep your character in the air. In Downwell, you're just tapping the left side or the right side of the screen to move left or right. That's the controls of Super Faust. You're a bird, and every time you tap left or right, he just flaps and he flies, and you're playing keepy-uppy with him, basically. And there are lots of flying enemies bouncing around, and you have to kind of fly into them, and that will take them out. So that's what you're trying to do, smash these enemies to bits. They are very small contained levels, and then once you complete the level, an explosion happens and a hole opens up in one of the walls or the floor, and then you aim your bird and drop through that into the next level. The enemies will fire early on, so they fire little plasma things. You need to avoid them. You've got crazy frogs, which become electric and kind of gzzzt, so you can't touch them at the right time. And you've got explosive crates that you need to do to either get coins in order to... I think you upgrade with the coins. I haven't done any upgrading yet. But the explosive barrels are fun, because if you stand too close to them, it doesn't kill you, but it makes your bird fly across the screen. Like, the physics engine goes mad, and that's fun, like that. But... yeah, as Emily wrote it, or we said in the review from Faust, not quite a shooter, it's not quite a dodger, it's sort of something in between. And my first encounter with it this morning, I like it. I think it's cool. I want to do the video review
for it. It sounds incredibly stressful. Like, that mixture of gameplay just, to me, sounds like something that would just freak me out and overwhelm me in 30 seconds.
It's not as frantic as Downwell.
Right.
Downwell's always got that constant downward momentum, whereas here, you're... exploring the level, so you can go up or down.
Okay.
So it's not just that kind of down, relentless death. I'm sure it gets worse later on, but I took to it. It's nice. We'll have to wait and see what our review of this one is. But yeah, it's promising. I think it's kind of neat. Other releases for the week. I know you haven't had a chance to play loads, Rick, because of doing that whole editing the whole site thing that you do.
It takes up a lot of time, this whole running a website thing. It's really weird.
Yeah, the more you do that stuff, the less you actually play the games. It sucks. But there's a game called Wild Beyond, which came out, which, is, judging by the very, very pre-animated, no useful information trailer, we're talking about kind of an RTS that has a lot of art stylings based on hero characters. It looks a bit Overwatchy to me. They've gone with that colourful thing. So it's kind of like a hero top-down RTS game, which, as I understand it, you said is made by the developers who make, what are those games?
Episode. The choose your own adventure games with you know, like Mean Girls and Pretty Little Liars, I think was their most recent license they managed to get. Oh, and what's that a cappella? Pitch Perfect. They also did it's very very much a teenage girl thing. It's Pocket Gems as a developer, and then they started opening spin-off studios to do other games. So they did War Dragons, which is like a really hardcore strategy game about dragons, and then they've done this as well. So they have made other games like this before. Makes me laugh, because all I think about when I think Pocket Gems is Episode and Mean Girls.
Right.
And doing choose your own adventures, and then they go off and make top-down strategy blooming Overwatch.
Yeah. So it's like you get the characters in cards. It's a PvP RTS style game, and it's, you know, based. It's got that hero inflection. It feels a bit Team Fortressy and Overwatchy with the character designs and, you know, the colourful and whatnot. Some quite positive reviews regarding gameplay, but also there is a butt ton of in-app purchases. It's free to play. I don't think anyone's going to be surprised by this. So maybe bear that in mind. We might take a look at it and get back to you. But Wild Beyond. That's the other big-ish release for the week. I know there's Odysseus Cosmos Episode 3. I haven't played the first few episodes, so I've got no idea what that's all about. And the other one I can see on the list is Storm Boy, which is something that I've been waiting to play. So this is a narrative-based game with absolutely gorgeous art based on the 1964 children's book, Storm Boy. And it is a relationship between a kid and his pelican,
something
I think.
Like that.
Stork or pelican? It's beautiful from the trailers, but I don't know if there's anything to it, you know, because it might just be a bunch of noodly arty stuff.
Yeah.
It's very much family friendly and isn't it adorable and aren't we all feelings? That kind of game. So we have got it on the account. We will play it and we'll get back to you. Check back with PG next week for reviews and stuff like that. Storm Boy is the name. Okay, I think that's us. Bang on the 30-minute mark, which means it'll be 45 with this interview, and that's how we do podcast maths, kids.
Woo!
Oh, yeah. So, thank you all for listening, as always. I hope you find something nice in the Black Friday sale, and then you buy it, and you feel good for about 10 minutes before you realise that hole inside of you. You can't buy it away.
Or donate to charity instead. We have a list of charities that you could donate to if you don't want to buy anything in the Black Friday sales but do feel like spending money. And you could help make someone else's life a little bit better, either through the magic of video games or just through having a better lifestyle.
That is an extraordinarily positive note to go out on. But yeah, we genuinely have that as well, so go and have a look at that on the site. Thank you for listening. Go and check out some of these nice games. Get Kingdom Rush Vengeance. It is good. It's really good. And we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.